welcome to the third Manx Footy pod. Amazingly, they've asked us back again, Dave.
I don't know how it's happened, but we've got to make the most of it.
Exactly. Today, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Amy Beggs-Kearney from the FA and Anna Dillon, Corinthians stalwart and Alaman cap, to discuss the new women's season. We've also got a couple of interviews in the bag, haven't we, Dave?
We have. You spoke to Frank Jones last week after Geordie's comeback win against Laxey. And I spoke to Aaron Quinn after Dougie World's thrashing of Pulley in Division 2.
Without further ado, let's get on with it. Right, girls, thanks for coming in. Amy, Anna, welcome to the extended broom coming today. We couldn't fit you in the usual recording studio, so you've got Nigel, our editorial meeting room today.
This is luxury, make the most of it.
Yeah, nice. Usually Dave has to stand. You must be over the moon today, mate.
These are comfy chairs. I might take one from my desk.
Right, so the reason we got you in, girls, is because the new women's season started on Sunday, and there was 8 teams in the mix, I believe, this year. So that's one more than last season. You guys, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, we are.
So the women's football's on the grow, really.
Yeah, it's definitely. We've obviously, I think it was 2 seasons ago now, we were down to 6 teams, which I'm sure Anna will tell you it was playing the same games over and over again, and you know pretty much before you start the game who. Or in the past, you knew what the scores were going to be before you played them. But we've got it up. The 8th team is yet to play their game. Their first fixture will be on Sunday, and that is going to be a Laxey Ramsey sort of combined team.
So great.
We're unsure on how it's going to be. They're going to be affiliated through Laxey, but we're thinking they're going to be more of a Northern United team just to get them going this season, and then see what we can do for the next year. If we can create 2 teams, great. If not, we'll push through with the Northern United.
So have you found you had attracted quite a few players through your summer league? Because I know that was being popular this year.
Yeah, the summer league we trialled it last year, it was down to 8. It was just had 8 teams, which was more than the women's league had, which was exciting. And then this year we managed to get 12 teams in. But I think it just proves that it's a good way to get some new players in. There was over 100 players registered in the summer league, which is massive.
Yeah.
Obviously not all of them have filled into teams, and some of them have said that they just enjoyed playing for the summer and they play with their companies. We had a rugby team in.
Yes.
We've got a few of them rugby players that are joining women's teams, football teams as well. So it's exciting, and the summer league, I think, is something that we'll look to continue, whether there's potential for more a change in the women's season, whether it should lean towards more summer, it'll be yet to tell. But I think we've got a few more years of summer league before we can make that decision.
Well, you touched on it before. You said you could often turn up on a Sunday and you'd know maybe what the score was going to be. But is it all these new teams and the sort of the new players making it a bit more competitive league?
Yeah, I would say in the past it's probably fair to say that it was Corinthians or Royals and they were fighting for the battle, wasn't it, Anna? It was never really. But Peel massively stepped up this season, and I think this new Northern Laxey squad, especially when their juniors start coming through, that's going to be a side to that's definitely going to be a side to watch out for. And as with the bottom 4, it's a lot more competitive with us now, so it makes it. I play for all boys, so we used to rock up on a Sunday and you knew that you were in for a long game, but now we've got a few games that we feel like we can go out there and give it a good go, and it is getting a lot closer, and I think we'll only know when the women's league gets even stronger. We can make it a lot more competitive, I think.
You had a good start to the season on Sunday, didn't you? Against Gyms, did you play?
Yes, we played Gyms. It's not the old Gyms that we know it. They've got they've done really good work to get a load of new players in, so they're a new side. But they played really well, and it was a very competitive game. It was a nice to get a win for the start of the season for us.
Of course, Anna, you were involved in the Day's big game between Corinthians and Douglas Royal.
Yeah, that's right. Bit disappointed, to be honest. We kind of went into the game. We haven't really got much in the way of a squad this year. You know, we are down to the bare numbers. We've got an awful lot of young ones, and you know, we're just kind of gelling together. And we kind of didn't know how it was going to pan out, but we came off and lost 2-0, but it definitely didn't reflect the game. You know, we played really well, and between poor finishing, you know, from some of our girls and some great saves by their keeper and the woodwork kept them in the game, to be honest. We could have easily been 3-0 up at half time. So, you know, positives, negatives, we got beat, but, you know, we need to take some from the performance because it, you know, at times we did play some really good football.
So it all indicates towards it, as you say, a close season at the top and bottom. And I'm going to ask you to put your necks on the line now. Who do you think are going to come out on top at the end of the season?
Oh, I don't know. On paper, you might say Douglas Royals, but I think Peel, Royals and Corinthians, on their day, between you three, the games are always close anyway.
Peel aren't going to be as strong this year. They've obviously lost a few players from last season. Again, Corinthians, you know, we are really, really scratching the barrel for numbers. But Royals, you know, we're signing 4-5 players from gyms. You know, they've got an absolute cracking squad there now. And I'd be going with Royals, you know. I know last year, again, we kind of struggled. And when we came up against some of these better teams, we just didn't have the players, you know, people away or injured. And you can't afford to not have your stronger squad when you do play these stronger teams. You know, Royals now have got 20-plus players that, you know, they're all very, very good players. So I think my bet's going to be with them. But it's all on the day, isn't it, you know?
So poses another problem, though. They've got 20 players. You can only play 11 at one time. Do you think that's going to become an issue for them?
Yeah, I think it will. I think any team within women's football on the island will realise that that's too big of a squad. I say when I'm trying to get teams, like trying to set up the new Laxey team last year with Douglas Athletics, I think 18 is a decent number because people are away. You need cover for that. But I think, they've got a lot of numbers there. So, players are going to be disappointed. And I don't know if that potentially could be their downfall next year when players might think to leave them. But at the moment this season, they're looking strong. They've got the players from gyms, as I say, and they're good players, ex-Island players, current Island players. They are on paper looking strong. But, they have got big numbers. So, I'll have to see.
Let's touch on the junior side of the game now, because a lot of the girls seem to be making names for themselves across. Three that spring to mind: Ella Dixon, Tia Lisi, and Millie Dawson, all off Ireland at the moment with various clubs. And, you know, how's that come about? We suddenly seem to be exporting them by the barrel load.
Obviously I only came into the role 2 years ago. Well, it's been my second year of being in the role, and I think the first year I was just kind of finding my feet, and then my role has expanded into taking over the Player Development Centre, and we just work closely with the heads of the FA that run the centres in the UK, just to see. I wanted to know how good our players were in comparison to them, so I sent a few of them away at the start of last year just to trial with the teams, and we sent Ella and Tia away to Manchester, and they didn't look out of place, which we were like, wow, this is amazing. So we worked for the trials in July to get a few more players over. So we probably sent away, about six players went away. And out of them six players, the feedback we got back was incredible, which we're using now to boost our centre and how we run things here. And then obviously with Ella and Tia and Millie getting signed, it's incredible. And I think there's more to come because they're three great players on the island, but there are a lot of youngsters coming through that are at the same standard. And I think the more girls we get playing and the more regular they're playing football, it's definitely, definitely increasing the standard that we have over here. And I'm looking forward to the next few years to see what it brings, because I think we'll have a lot more going through. Like Ella and Tia, I was just speaking to Tia's dad, and they had their first game the other week, and Tia got started and then Ella got brought on, and they're both looking like they're going to be they're going to be part of the squads, and they're going to be in that regularly, and they're talking about maybe next year, and I think that's really exciting, because when we sent them over, we weren't sure if they were even going to be good enough, and it just proves that what we're doing is working. We just need to kind of build on it, and we just need a few more numbers, which I think is going to come, and this sort of thing helps because it's a massive publicity boost to women's football on the island.
It's also good to strengthen the links with clubs across in England, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And do you tend to have many coaches come over at all?
We have got FA mentors that come over, and they're going to do a lot more around the female-only stuff to kind of boost the work that we do within the centre, and hopefully do some sessions with that. And yeah, I don't know if any clubs are planning to come over at the moment, but there'll be some that,
yeah.
Ideally, I think when they start seeing the talent that we have over here, hopefully we can use that to encourage them to come over.
And obviously it should hopefully snowball as well. Once people see that those three girls are doing really well, then hopefully it encourages more and more. So.
Yeah.
Great news. And it's not just the juniors signing for Rothwell. Anna, you signed for Altrincham, I believe.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
So how did that move come about? Obviously, they were over in the summer, weren't they, playing one of the tournaments against
the
Islanders?
Spring Cup.
Mm-hmm. Is that how they, did they spot you and think?
Well, we actually played them last year, you know, before we went to the Island Games. And then they obviously came over again in the Spring Cup. And it's kind of gone from there, really.
Have you had a chance to join up with them yet?
I've been and I've played a few friendlies. And then I played the first game of the season.
Right.
So that was good. We got a win. I'm away again at the weekend. So we'll see how that one goes.
So have you found the standard in that league?
Well, obviously, we've not played that many. Mm. But, it is good. They've actually signed quite a few new players from another club as well. So I think they're really pushing to try and be towards the top end of the table. But it's good, you know, you're guaranteed hard, tough physical matches week in, week out, which unfortunately, you know, we don't get here.
Yeah.
I'm playing centre midfield over there as well. So, you know, I'm thick of the action all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas here, I've been playing sweeper. So, you know, sometimes I'm not having to do an awful lot.
But, of course, I don't know if you know, you'll be the second Manxy at the club because Dan Hattersley plays for the men's side there. He used to play for Castletown and I don't know, he's an adopted Manxy because he was born in Bradford. But, so the old thing I've seen on the web, they do seem quite a professional outfit, you know.
Very professional, yeah. You know, they've got managers and the coach and, you know, they are really good. And that saying of the dog with a bone. Yeah, Keith wouldn't let it go. So, but you know, I hummed and hawed and didn't know whether to or not. But then it was, what have I got to lose?
No,
you know, I've got nothing to lose, and I'm kind of thinking this is going to be my last year of playing football anyway. So why not give it a go? You know, rather than thinking the what ifs.
Yeah,
so no, it's good.
So I've just touched on it before. You've obviously played a couple of tournaments with the Ireland squad this year. You won both. So things seem to be going well with the Ireland team at the moment.
Yeah, we did. We did. And, you know, there was a few players that weren't in them squads as well that, you know, hopefully will come back in. And, you know, we've got some young ones coming through now and who are keen. So hopefully, you know, give them a year into this season and next year, hopefully we'll be stronger again.
There's been a move to play club sides, maybe over traditional opponents. We usually play the Isle of Wight, Jersey, Shetland and all that. But I ask a question to both of you. Do you think that's been a positive move? Has it raised the standards, or, you know, have you enjoyed just playing to different people?
I think, I don't obviously play in the matches, but I think it's nice to get different competitors over. I think it raises the profile of our Island ladies team, and off the back of it, I've had emails from various clubs in the UK that are really keen to come over, and I think it's good to have that choice and be able to kind of pick who's going to be right for us to prepare, especially with the Island Games coming up. We want the girls to get the best preparation that we can get for them, and I think the more teams that we're in contact with and we have links with, the better. And like the teams that came over, Wigan, they're a good side, and I think the Island Man just showed that we're just as good, and I think it's just kind of raised the profile. And obviously playing it, I guess, is good for you to get some different competition.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that all came about though, wasn't it? Because could Jersey and the Isle of Wight, and not, they couldn't come over, could they?
They couldn't come over for
so
that.
So this is why we've kind of looked at the clubs, but it certainly is, because you get a decent club. Why does it matter whether it's an Island team or whether it's a club team? You know, as long as you're getting good games against them where you can learn, then, you know, hopefully we can push on. And like I say, he's got the young ones down training with us now.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll kind of get used to it. I mean, we had Ella and Tia both training with us last year.
Yeah.
And it's like Amy said, they just don't look out of place at all. I mean, Ella still trains with us now. So it is good to see that they've come through and moving on. And, you know, there's some cracking young players.
Yeah, we developed the under-18s back up for the PDC last year. They kind of dropped off at 15, so I thought, let's get them back together because we don't want to lose them, especially if they're not playing at the same level of football every week. So we set the under-18s up and Quilly came down and had a look at the girls, and the standard is really high. That under-18s group, the players that are coming through, like Alex Honor's coming through, she'll be turning 16 in the next few, I think it's a matter of days, weeks.
Yeah.
She'll be making a massive difference. And I think it's just the tempo of the under-18s. They want to play football and they want to represent the island. We took them away to Great Yarmouth on the weekend and they were great. They put in 100% the whole time they were there. And they're just, they're just bringing back, I think, the love of football to some of the, probably some of the island team as well, to show them that, look, young players are coming through now. And I think it's great that there's a good link between the under-18s and the Island Ladies.
Do you think there's been almost a culture change in women's football? Are girls, is it more available in schools? Are girls seeing what the England national team have done in the World Cup and stuff like that and thinking, I actually want to play football and it's something I want to pursue, rather than maybe the traditional sports of netball and hockey and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think massively we've seen an increase. I came at the perfect time, I think, because the Women's World Cup was happening the year that I started, and that's kind of built up on, and it's just building up on what they're doing over there and kind of saying, look, this is something that is we're offering for girls, and we are trying to build. At the moment, it's not as big as hockey and netball, but I don't think that it's going to be far off it in the future. I think it's something. Every other day I get an email, where can my daughter join a team? We had trials for the PDC the past 2 weeks, and we had higher numbers than we ever had, with throughout under-10s all the way up to under-18s, and I think it's just incredible that it is growing that quick, and I think it'll just continue to grow now, and primary school's massively pushing girls football, and mixed football's a big thing. We can play that up until 18 now. Obviously it'll only be 16 over here due to the leagues that we have, but I think that's a massive plus for the likes of Ellen Tia, who played mixed football. It shows that that can bring you on as well.
You mentioned Alex Honor before. Are there any other youngsters that you're tipping to make a big breakthrough?
From the younger groups, there's definitely a few coming through. We've got some, we've just started an under-10s group, which that's going to be, if they continue football throughout their lives, there's a little girl in there called Roshona. She joined us last year as an 8-year-old in the under-11s, and she's a good little player. And there's a few players at the under-14s that are playing with the under-16s, like Megan Kelly, Alana Pritchard. They're the sort of players that next year will be going away again for trials. But there's throughout the whole Player Development Centre this year, the standard is a lot higher, and we've actually been able to choose who is in rather than people getting in because we were short on numbers. We've been able to whittle it down to the strongest 15 or the strongest 20 players, which is, I think, only positive.
That's great.
For the Ireland teams.
And looking at the other end of the playing career, has there been any sort of moves to get more women involved in coaching and refereeing on the island?
Yeah, we're looking to do a lot more around female, potentially looking into female-only referee courses or coaching courses. We held a female-only CPD event just to see what numbers we got down. There was a few down. They enjoyed it, and I think it's looking at building on that and getting maybe the high schools to buy into it a bit more to push players through, because I think there's a massive need. From speaking to players and being a female coach myself, the girls enjoy seeing what they can aspire to, and I think having females within the setup, like our Player Development Centre now, we've boosted the number of female coaches within that, because I think that the girls need to see what they can continue to build through football. Like, it's not just playing now and then when I'm older I'll probably move into netball. There's opportunities within football, and I think having females within the game, and I think we need more female referees, but I think when it comes to the point where players are starting to retire, looking to get them to come stay within the game and do refereeing or coaching or manage a team. But I think that'll all come with time, because at the moment, as Anna will know, people can't stop playing at the moment because we haven't got the numbers, because if you stop, you're letting your team down. So I think in a few years' time, when everything's built up a bit, that'll be something we'll start seeing more. But it's definitely something on the agenda and will.
And either of those roles interest you, Anna? Coach or referee, maybe, when you hang your boots up?
Definitely not a referee. I don't know, if I'm honest. Not really sure I should be saying this, but I don't feel you get out what you put in. And, you know, all the years I've been playing, I wouldn't dream of missing a training session. You know, I wouldn't dream of just randomly going away and missing football games. But unfortunately, that's not how it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people take it or leave it. And, you know, if you're giving up your time and running around, and, you know, especially if you've got kids and stuff, I wouldn't want to be turning up for nobody else to be bothered.
Yeah.
And it has gone a little bit like that. And I just hope that these young ones that are coming through have got the appetite that, you know, I always had. And to be fair, I still have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm saying I'm going to do something, I commit myself to do it and put in 110%. But at the moment, it kind of doesn't go through the team. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm busy doing other stuff.
So we've had our usual Twitter questions when we said you ladies were joining us today. Hattie, obviously the man, the myth, the legend, has sent a couple in. He asked you both, what's the best player you've played with or against? So we'll start with Amy.
Oh, best player I've played with is probably Becky Watson from our team. I think she will be one that potentially Quilly might be calling up this year to bring down to the island. She's just great to play with. When she's on the pitch, you feel like we've actually got a chance today, girls. And yeah, she's just an all-round, I think, a great player and a great girl.
And against? Maybe.
Against is a hard one. We play a lot of tough teams on my end of the league. But yeah, I would say Lisa Costain is, on a day when you watch her play, sometimes it just blows your mind at how different the ability is within Manx football. Because when I see Lisa, I just think, God, I've got no chance here. But she's I think Lisa's a cracking player.
Anna, same question.
God, I think I'll have to go back a few years. I think in the Lou days, to be honest. I played in centre midfield with a girl called Linda Wooten. And we just gelled, and I knew she would sit, which allowed me just to bomb on. So no, I think it'd have to be Linda on that one.
And what about against? You must have faced some tough opponents.
Against? I think, actually, probably when I played for Union Mills against Malou, there was Sarah Quinn.
Right.
We always had a good battle. So I think she's probably the toughest one.
Your second question was, to both of you again, where do you see Manx football in 5 years' time? So we've touched on it a bit. You said there's a lot of juniors coming through. So
yeah. My aim, personally, in my role is I want to get the Women's League back up to 12 teams, because I think that's when it will be more competitive all round. We can look at splitting up into two divisions if there is a need for it. But I think that's where I would see it going. I want it to be up to 12 leagues. I want it to be more competitive. And with the juniors coming through, and as long as we can keep them interested from under 10s and under 8s now, we're offering football for girls. If they can keep at it then, and we're pushing it into primary schools, high schools are buying into it, and it's just a case of bringing the standard up. And I think, yeah, that's where it'll be in 5 years' time.
And Anna, what do you think?
If we can get these young ones coming through and sticking at it, you know, hopefully we can push on. I just kind of worry that I look at the girls in the teams now, and there's a lot of older ones, isn't there? There's not that many, you know, young ones coming through. So I would kind of worry that
the older ones are going out. Yeah.
You know, is there going to be enough young ones coming in to replace them?
Right.
Obviously, I don't have anything to do with the young ones, yeah. You know, so, you know, go with Amy, and hopefully if these young ones are coming through.
I think it's a case of more teams understanding now that they are getting a bit older and doing the work now to get their younger players in, because like Laxey's junior setup has proven to work. They've started with under 8s, they offer it at every age group, and now they're pushing on to get this women's team ready so that next season they're going to have players that have played for Laxey since under 10, and they're going to be a strong team because them girls will play together. And I think more teams need to start thinking ahead like that and thinking, where are we going to be in 2-3 years' time? Are we all going to be together the chances are no. So what can we do now? We need to be going into the schools. We need to be providing good training sessions for them younger players. But I think we'll get there. I think there are definitely more players interested now. It seems like girls' football's kind of finding its own feet. It's not just an extra off of males' football. It is something completely different, and I think we'll get there. That's my aim anyway.
And the next question is one especially for you, Amy. from Dave Matheson and Douglasson District on Twitter. What's it like to work with Richard Brandt, and does he make a good brew?
He doesn't make brews very often, actually.
But when it's terrible.
It's a sackable
offence.
Yeah, I feel like that as well. Maybe if he's listening, he might have one on the desk for me tomorrow morning. But yeah, he's all right to work with. It's fun to listen to him and Lewis on a Monday morning after they've been playing on a Saturday about their thinking that they're world-class footballers. I guess that's with any males that play on a Saturday, their version of the game and what you actually see on height of recording situations.
Well, we've both got you here. It would be remiss of us not to discuss this weekend's fixtures. There's another big game again this week. The teams are coming thick and fast, even though the season's only a couple of weeks long. Peel versus Douglas Royal. So, as you said, the champions versus the team you're tipping to lift the silver at the end of the season. Which way do you see that one going?
Depends what. If Peel bring it. Last year I thought Peel did an amazing job. I think the girls there wanted it so much. And I think if they've still got that want and desire, they've lost a few players, but if they both bring out their strongest squads, it'd be a close one. I'll go with Peel just because I think it'd be great for them to pick that win.
Elsewhere, Anna cleaned things up against Laxey, the new side, the Northern Powerhouses, as Amy keeps calling them. You're confident of 3 points in that one?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll certainly be tough. You know, I don't really care who you're playing. You know, you can't go into the game thinking you're going to win. You know, you've got to go out and still put the effort in. We are down a few on players. As I said, we've got a very small squad, and there's quite a few not available this weekend. But yeah, I do think that the girls that we've got, We'll go and get the 3 points.
A big battle at the bottom. Old Boys versus Colby.
We're in the middle now.
Oh, sorry, middle. How remiss of me. There was a big win last week, of course, propelling you up the table. So, are you hopeful of making that?
I don't know. Colby's always the game that we get really riled up before it, because we're like, this is the game that we've, I think last season we lost 1-2, then we won 1. So we know that we're going to go out there and it's going to be the most competitive game that we have during the season. So I'm going to say that we're going to win out of faith in the girls. I think. But then depends. Colby can bring on a day. We had a friendly against them and they smashed us.
No way.
If I'm being really honest. But I have a feeling that we had new players down. But I think, I'm going to back my team.
And another close game on the cards at Springfield Road, Douglas Athletic versus Jims. That should be another tight one.
Yeah, as I say, I play Jims on Sunday. They are a fairly new setup, but the girls have come into football with the right attitude. They wanted to win as much as we wanted to win. They were given 100%. They've still got some of their old players that are still in the setup. And I think between Douglas and Jims, Douglas Athletic and Jims will be a really, really close game, I think.
Right, well, before we look ahead to this week's games in the Camelot Premier League and Division 2, I'm just going to segue into an interview I did with Frank Jones after last week's dramatic match at Laxey. Dave, of course, and George's, of course, against Peel this week. Dave, big game. We're sending you up there, aren't we, with your buddies?
With my buddies, massive game. It's come at a good time for Peel almost, but after the massive win against the Air last week, but it should be a good game.
So let's have a hear of what Frank said to me last week.
3-2, what a game.
We started a bit, I think we started quite well actually. We had a few great chances. Sammy went through one-on-one and it was like De Bruyne against United. The first thing this morning, got in the centre and Sam decided to go round him instead of maybe pop shot on it. And we missed another couple of chances. And when you're playing a top side like Laxey, you've got to take them chances. they scored. Then there was a bit of a controversial penalty, but it hit him on the arm and Lodgy said it was a penalty and that we've got to deal with that. And but then we went in at half-time, we regrouped, and I think everyone watching, we showed like why we're the champions, and we grinded it out, and that result there will go a long way. Come April, May, whoever's crowned champions, I could just tip us.
But as you say, we pushed hard today, so we give some credit to Laxey. They were two up, and you know they were two good goals as well.
Yeah, they were a very good team. They were a very good team, and like you say in pre-season that they shipped a lot of players in, and they got rid of their kind of better players. A lot went to St Mary's, but they look a miles better team this year. They look well drilled. I spoke to Al Harrison against St Mary's. He said that they maybe should have beat St Mary's as well. So it's good though. It's good for us as well to have competition. Mm. Like the last couple of years, it's been us and Peel running away. But I think this year it looks like everyone in the kind of top six can beat each other. And it shows today we're not going to have it easy this year.
And obviously, one of the talking points will be the red card. I'm not going to talk too much about it. But I think, do you think that made that much of a difference to the game? Do you think you were coming back on top at that point anyway? Or
yeah, I think in the second half, as we come out, we had a bit of a drill at half time, as you could probably imagine. Yeah. And we come out and we started well. And we scored one, but obviously losing your goalkeeper, a red card, is going to have a massive effect on the game. But I think they still done very well, as in we still only won 3-2. We didn't run out and end up beating them 5-6, 2. But I don't actually know what happened. Obviously, when we scored, it was to make a 2-2.
Yeah.
Chris was in the net getting the ball, as he was in the first goal. If you're watching, he got the ball in the first goal. Something obviously happened, and fair play to the liner. He put his flag up, and he obviously seen what happened. And I take it the right decision was made. But,
No, I think it's fair to say there was obviously some sort of altercation between Chris and Danny, and it saw Danny sent off. But as you say, I thought the tide had turned by that point. You were always, since the second goal went in, really, you were hammering on the door. You just didn't really test Danny.
Yeah, I think we had that in the first half. We had a lot of chances, but really nothing where he made a great save or anything like that. We had kind of half chance that we think we should have maybe scored, but he didn't really make a great save. Second half, we had a bit of a drill in the half time. We come out, we scored. I think we were on top from the word go. And obviously the red card helped us a little bit, but I think the character through the team, and it just shows like games like that where we see it through, is why we've won the league the last six years. Yeah.
Well, you're missing Kieran and Callum at the moment, two big names for you, the two star strikers really. Has that had an effect on your early season? Or
at the point of it, if you're missing them two, you pull them two out of any team.
Yeah.
I think they scored us in the league last year, not far off 90 plus goals between the pair of them. So you take them two out. We're struggling. Maybe we could get by without one of them. But we're still, it's given Furo, who signed, it's given him a good chance. Sam Kane, obviously, is playing up there. He's scoring goals. So it's good, but I'd like to have them both back. You know, it's good.
And you said, touched on it earlier, it's more competition for you. It looks like a few teams are going to give you a bit of a push this season.
Yeah, that's what we want. We want everyone kind of striding to get to where we are. We don't want to be steamrolling teams every week and winning the league by 12. But like we haven't. The Peel have ran us close the last two seasons. But a couple of years before that, we're winning it by 12, 13 points, which no one wants. We want to be in games like that every Saturday. Like last year when we played Peel them three times in a week. That's what we want every week. But along with playing Laxey, Peel, all them kind of teams.
Right, let's have a look to the men's game now. A look at the Camelot Premier League. And there's only really one game to talk about at the top, really, isn't there?
It certainly is. Geordie's Peel, which way do you think that's going to go?
Well, for once, I'm going to join you on the fence, I think, and say I think this has got potential to be a draw. I've watched Geordie's last week. They were 2-0 down against Laxey at half-time, came back into it, and obviously won 3-2, thanks to three second-half goals. I still don't think that they're missing Cal and Kieran, which is a big loss for any side, wouldn't you say?
It's a huge blow, and also Sean Quay is going to be suspended as well.
Yeah, so. And the defence hasn't been as crash hot as normal. So I think Peel have got a chance, as you say, especially with Mr. Webster seemingly firing on all cylinders. Only 11 goals for him last Saturday.
Yeah, top of the Golden Boot standings after one game. Not
bad. Not a bad effort. But as I say, Geordie's potentially people's favourites, but I'm going to go for a draw. What about yourself?
I'm going to say Geordie's a legend. But it's going to be close.
And girls, you got any input on this one? You know, two big games, a big game here.
I'm going to say Peel. just to throw in the rocks, you know, I think Peel have got it. As you say, if they're still thriving from last week and St George's are missing some strong players, I think going by the first game of the season, the Charity Shield, Peel pipped it, so I say they'll do it again.
Anna, you got any insight on this one?
I think it all depends on the on what squads they've got on the day, isn't it? You know, if Peel have got their strongest squad and Geordie's haven't, maybe Peel, but if it's the other way around, to be honest with you, I don't really know enough about who they've got and not got to kind of say.
We had one of our world-famous Twitter polls this week, didn't we, David? Yes. Asking people to predict the result of this one, and 66% of the 109 that voted went with Geordies, 26 went with Peel, and only 8% joined me on the fence. So seemingly the people's champions are St George's at the moment, but we'll have to see. Of course, you'll be up there tweeting like a good one, won't you?
I will. I'll keep everyone up to date. But there's another good game taking place on Saturday. St Mary's currently leading by a point, taking on Rushen.
That's it, yeah, that's where I'm heading, down to the mighty bowl. This one, St Mary's, they'll see that, I would say, is 2 points drop last week with the 0-0 draw with St John's. And Rushen obviously got a good win over Corinthians, so again, this one should be a close game.
It shows Rushen bounced back well from that defeat to St John's. It was hard work against Corinthians, but they got the job done, so it should give them renewed confidence.
So, I'm going to pin you down. Who's going to win it?
St Mary's.
I'm going for another draw. Oof. Well, it's a coupon buster this week, I think.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Elsewhere, there's another big game up north.
Oh,
Vaughan 2.
The Northern Derby, we've sent Eric up here, haven't we?
Yes, we have, he'll be there. Are you going with that one?
I think Ramsey should get that error out of sorts. What do you think, ladies?
I think it's down the north, for starters.
Down? Over the mountain. Yeah, the two bottom two. Ayr have had a terrible time at the start of the season. Their combination team has already folded, and I can't remember the stat, was it 65 goals?
65 goals they conceded in six games. Yeah,
which is, by anyone's telling, that is not a very good start, is it? Ramsey, they'll be up for this though, won't they? Because Ramsey are the local rivals.
So,
is this their chance to claim a point, you think, though?
I think so. I think if Ramsey can get a win here, that moves them, potentially clear of Colby at the bottom. So it could be a massive 3 points for them.
Elsewhere, we've got another close game, maybe Gary Moore, Union Mills, St John's.
Yeah, again, Union Mills are down near the foot of the table as well. St John's had that excellent result against Rushen, so you on paper you fancy the Saints to win that, but the Millers are a good side.
And finally, the other top flight game of this Saturday is Colby versus Laxey.
And don't forget Douglas Athletic Old Boys as well.
Oh, there's two. How could I forget Old Boys? Yeah.
Laxey, well, you had that game last week. They played really well against Geordies, so you'd expect Colby...
For 45 minutes, they played very well.
Yeah. You expect Colby to face an uphill task in that, but they're a good side, Colby. They were well organised against Douglas Athletic, and they'll certainly need to be again this week.
And a few former players facing their former club, really. Douglas Athletic versus Douglas High School Old Boys, really.
Yeah. They certainly have, yeah. I would say... Old Boys on paper again would win that, but Athletic, you never know.
I'm sure Brian Garland will have them fired up for that game against his former club.
He's hoping for the Arrival Cup, isn't he? So.
Yes. Right, before we look ahead to Division 2, Dave spoke to Aaron Quinn. He seemed in a positive mood after, or as he would be after beating 10-2 last week, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was a huge win against Pulley, very deservedly so. Attack-wise, Royal look a very good side. There are not many other teams in the division that will cope with that attack. But obviously, Poirier's defence just wasn't up to shape last week. But I think, Royal, they're very much a good side.
Well, let's see what Aaron's got to say in what sounds like a blustery Bella Fletcher day.
It always is.
But we started really, really well. And I encourage lads, if we can get one or two goals up against Pulley, then usually, you know, that gets us on the upper hand. And I think, you know, we got one on 10 minutes with Craig, and then we played from there, and some of the football the lads played today was fantastic. Craig's played, everybody knows Craig, goal scorer, when we can keep him on the pitch. Unfortunately now he's got a 3-game ban coming up. But he's played really well this year in the games that he's played without scoring. So today I'm really pleased for him. You know, he's took his goals really, really well. That's what I've encouraged him to do, and the role that I want him to play is bring more players into the game. So rather than being greedy, he was, you know, clean through on goal and he was pulling them back, and we've been working a lot in training on trying to be more clinical. We scored 92 goals last year and, you know, finished seventh, I think it was. So scoring goals is, you know, is one thing that we can do, but I want us to be more clinical. And today was a real boost for us. You know, it was a real good result. I really wanted that clean sheet. And you know, the Flannies come on, and you know, he's got a couple of goals, and he causes a few problems. And pleased he wasn't playing from the start. You know, and I just said to the lads, I really wanted that clean sheet, but fair play to Bully, they kept going, and you know, their heads could have dropped, but you know, they kept battling until the end and got two goals, and two good goals for them. But yeah, from my point of view, it's poor. I really wanted that clean sheet, but I'm probably being a bit greedy now. Disappointed with the Foxdale result, but I think, you know, they're gonna cause, you know, a few teams a few problems this season. Obviously Braddon are flying at the minute, and today was a big game for us, a real big game to, you know, to play five and to get four victories. Governors Athletic coming up with, you know, that's going to be another tough game for us with Tony obviously managing us last year and moving to them. So this was the start of a run of five games with Braddon, Castletown and Moran coming up after that will determine our season, and we'll see where we are in 4 or 5 weeks' time. I've said all along, I've got a really good squad of players here of 15, 16 lads, and the lads in the combi, we've got a real good group of players here. And for me, it's been a lot about getting the attitude right and playing like you see there, playing till the very end, because our attitude's what's let us down in the past. And you know, we've got the football and talent, and just trying to stay positive for us. We've got our captain, James, is away in Amsterdam, so he won't know what day it is at the minute. You know, so we've got Big James to come in at the back, and Greg's away. So we've still got a couple of players to come in, and Chris Anderson's still been out injured. So we've still got two or three players to come into this squad, but still haven't had my strongest squad together for a Saturday. That's no disrespect by any means to any of the players that come along.
Right, so Aaron's tipping a potential title tilt there.
He is. Well, he's going with my prediction that they'll get promoted. And I think I've seen nothing to change my mind. But it's difficult to judge with one game.
Yeah, and of course they're playing Governors Athletic this weekend, who have deserve the Manx footy pods, not in any way ripped off from Blue Peter badge, because they scored their first ever win in the league on Saturday.
They did, a 94th minute winner against Michael.
I know this goal scorer very well. He had the misfortune of playing cricket with me for a couple of seasons. Andrew Ronan, or Zola. This is an interesting fact. His nickname is Zola because he looks like Gianfranco Zola.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. But he obviously harnessed his inner Zola because he scored, as you say, 94th minute winner,
yes.
I believe there were scenes galore at Bolero Road.
Well, if Tony Seale's got anything to do with that, I'm not surprised.
If you haven't been on Twitter this week, have a look at Hattie's his post-match reaction video with something else. The boys going bananas in the Bolero Road changing rooms. Obviously, it's a bit of a different opposition this week in the form of Douglas Royal. I can't see them doing 2-2, but you never know.
Manx football is a funny old game sometimes, but yeah, you'd expect Royal to win that.
And just back to you girls, you know, obviously a momentous occasion for Governors, getting a first win. You obviously, when Old Boys started in the league, you must remember that fateful moment when you got...
We got a win probably for 2-3 seasons, so wow. When we did pick one... it might have even been longer than 2-3. I think that was me being We've only started winning the past few seasons and getting the odd game in here and there. And when we win, we celebrate the World Cup. Even if we get a goal now, it's a celebration of a...
So 3-0 on Sunday and a clean sheet. That must have been... You must have to take Monday off.
3-0 sounds really glamorous, but they scored two own goals. So it's 3-0.
Yeah.
We only managed to net one ourselves, so.
But fair play to Clovis Athletic. You know, they've started from scratch basically, and you know, it has to be admired. They've persevered, is the word, and now they've got a combination team, so they're obviously getting numbers to training, and playing on it. You know, Bemmer Hague's quite a decent pitch.
It is. They've got a good manager in place there as well, in Tony Sewell. So who knows how much they can achieve.
The team that they played last week and were the victims of the famous win were Michael United this week. They've got Castletown, and it looks to be another uphill challenge for them, because Castletown are up the top end of the table.
They are, but they have just suffered back-to-back defeats, so it remains to be seen how they'll bounce back. But again, yeah, you would expect them to win that.
Go on, hit me with your stat of the week.
Oh, well, Michael, they have now gone the first six games of the season without scoring a single goal. And they last went eight games without scoring a couple of seasons ago in the Premier League. But they'll be hard pushed to end that the six game run.
I do remember that run because I was at the infamous game where they scored against, I think it was played Jim's, wasn't it? I've got a t-shirt somewhere that says I've seen Michael score. But yeah, Neil, that is a bit worrying when you can't score goals because they don't seem particularly tight at the back either.
No, so with Castletown, they've got Nathan Cole and Alex Crawley up front. They should hopefully trouble the scorers a few times there.
Could be a long afternoon for the boys from the West. Right, elsewhere, big game, Braddon Moran.
Yes, Braddon, they'll go top if they win this with Foxdale having a week off. But Moran, again, they lost their first three games of the season, but they've bounced back now with three wins on the trot. So they're looking a more formidable proposition now.
Elsewhere, Pulley versus Douglas and District. Amy, I'm sure Richard has been giving you some insight into this one. Is he playing this weekend?
I imagine he will be playing this weekend. I imagine he'll be scoring goals as well by the sounds of it.
50-odd wonder strikes, probably.
Probably, yeah. The best goals you've ever seen, but we'll see on Monday.
Well, Pulley are in a bit of a rut at the moment, and you saw them get absolutely slapped by Douglas Royal last week. So, Douglas and District maybe get a scalp here.
Well, they got a scalp a few weeks ago, didn't they? They beat Foxdale, so who knows? Pulley, they started with Darren Flanagan on the bench last week. And he came off the bench late on and scored a goal and set one up. If he starts this week, they've got a very good chance of winning that game, but who knows?
Final two games, Jim's versus Onken, maybe a home win there, you reckon?
I think so, yeah. Jim's are a steady side. Obviously, they're currently looking for a manager, aren't they?
Well, I believe Jabba, Jonathan Broad and Barry Howden are in the temporary hot seat, as it were. But I'm sure if they... Josie Mourinho and all were listening and fancy the crack at Division 2 football on the Isle of Man. They would be quite happily take the job application, but I believe you do have to pay your own petrol money, don't you?
Oh dear, that's a deal breaker. But Jabba was in charge with James a couple of seasons ago when they got promoted, didn't he? And so he's been there, he's done that. So you know,
he's probably got the t-shirt.
He probably has. It's the same one you've got.
Maybe not. No. Right, and last game, Youthy versus Malou.
Yeah, Youthy again, they're certainly in fine goal-scoring form. You would expect them to win this. Malou haven't quite got going yet this season. But
well, they've only scored one, I believe.
They've only scored one, but you know, that run will come to an end eventually, but I think they'll struggle against Youthy this weekend.
Talking Malou, we've had a tweet.
We have.
Apparently last week, I'm not sure it was a combination of first team, but the referee was Roger Cave. And the plea, I will read the tweet out because you do need to hear it all to believe it. Please buy Roger Cave some shaving foam. He pretended to spray foam on the floor today for a free kick and made the sound effect. Now, when I got that, I was pretty baffled. Now, he's obviously seen what the boys, the top referee, did and thought, you know what, I can do that in Manx football. But God bless him, have you seen, he usually sports some amazing facial hair. So he's obviously not a man that shaves often. He obviously didn't have any at home, and he thought that's not going to stop me. He's made the noises.
You have to admire his dedication.
You have to admire it, but if I was playing, that would have absolutely flabbergasted me.
It would have probably put them off. That's why Malou didn't score. So.
Of course, neither me or Dave play. Girls, have you encountered that sort of bizarre behaviour in Manx football this season?
No, not yet. We've only had one game, so.
Have you any other odd antics from referees over the years? No. No.
No, probably not none that will be mentioning on here.
Well, fair play, Rog. That's definitely made us laugh out here today. If you are doing it on a regular basis, maybe we could chip in and get you some Tesco shaving foam. I'm sure other brands are available.
I'm sure they are.
But I'm sure Tesco would be the cheapest. Right, that's it for this week's podcast. Thanks to the girls for coming in.
Thanks so much.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at ManxFootyBlog, not pod. The blog was before the pod, as it were. We'll be tweeting from the games right on Saturday. And, of course, there'll be a whole array of updates, match reports, roundups on the IOM Today/football. Right, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.